Hebrews chapter 10. The message tonight is the body of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body didst thou prepare for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I am come, and the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. A body did God the Father prepare for our Savior. Now Luke 22, verse 19. The location is the Lord's Supper, and it says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And now Isaiah 50. Verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. But God will bring to naught both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One more word of prayer. Our Father, so much your word has to tell us about the body. We are thankful, our God, for this subject that you've given us by revelation. We pray that the different points that you've told us about every part of that body shall be of significance to us. Our God, thou dost know why you made man the way you did, and thou hast told us that having made man, who became a living soul, formed his body out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. So let us learn about the body tonight, the body of thy Son, and about our bodies as well. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. There are two creations of God. There is the higher creation, which is angelic, and there is the lower creation, which is human. And what is astounding is this, that he who is high above all, it says that he was made a little lower than the angels. And so our Savior, when it was determined that he would come to earth, God determined that he would come a little lower than the angels. Now, that was possible only by his being prepared a body by the Father. This body that was prepared, it was prepared after the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit in a perfectly normal way. If you read about the body of our Savior, at first, when he was conceived, it was unknown. But after a few months, it was evident. And then finally, it says that Mary was great with child. The time came that she should be delivered. And she delivered her firstborn son. And this is how God puts it. It says, when in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so the Lord Jesus, this way, has that prophecy fulfilled, a body hast thou prepared me. The Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father and telling his Father, yes, you have prepared this body for me. And this is the first thing you have to remember, that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was identical to your body apart from sin. He had a body. How do I know that? Well, the law of creation consists of matter and soul and spirit. And considering that our Savior had a true body, this is what you find. The proof that he had a body, it said that Jesus was wearied with his journey. It said he fasted for 40 days and afterward he hungered. You'll discover that the Lord Jesus also had the inward parts, because he said, now is my soul troubled. And when he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so he had a body, a true body, and it was essential that he had that body prepared, because there were certain things that God had determined that his son would do when he came to earth, and they could not have been accomplished unless the Lord Jesus had a body that was subject to all the limitations that you and I have, and a body that was capable of death. How can God die? But our Savior was God manifest in the flesh. And it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And it said that he was made in all things like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And the only way that the Lord Jesus could fulfill the will of God was not by being made an angelic being and visiting the earth, but being made a little lower than the angels, being given a perfectly normal human body, subject to all the failures, the weaknesses, the temptations, except his temptations would be different from ours. Our bodies so often are subject to vile temptations. You'll discover that Satan was more clever than to try to tempt the Lord Jesus with a Bathsheba, with a Jezebel. You'll find that the Lord Jesus was tempted with things that were legitimate to him. Tell me, is there anything sinful about a man who is hungry, eating food? No. And that's what Satan said. He said, look, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But it wasn't God's time for him to eat bread. That was the temptation. Let me ask you this. Is it a sin for a man to trust God to preserve him in time of danger? You say, no. And so Satan said, cast yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple, for he'll give his angels charge concerning you. The Lord Jesus had the answers to all of those things, and most of all this. Our Lord Jesus, as the wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And so Satan said to him, look at all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I will give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Is there anything wrong with Jesus inheriting the kingdoms of the world? No, but not from the hand of Satan. And so any temptation that Satan tempted Christ with were temptations different from yours and mine. He would tempt him when he saw that he was hungry. And that is the subtlety and the sinister character of Satan. Here is a man in his weakness, and he tempts Christ when he's hungry. But Christ, if it meant death, he would never eat a morsel of food until his father directed him. You remember a man in the Old Testament named Esau, and he came back from hunting, and he said, I'm famished, I've got to have something to eat. And Jacob was stirring some red pottage there, and he said, I'll give you something to eat if you will sell me your birthright. And finally he said, I'm going to die, and what good is my birthright? And so he sold him his birthright for a mess of pottage wire. Had he been fasting for 40 days? No. And was he going to die? Well, you would think you were going to when you were so hungry, but it wasn't that way at all. And so please notice that our Savior could be tempted in legitimate ways, but it would be no use for Satan to tempt our Savior in vile ways, such as David and Bathsheba, such as Samson and Delilah. Not in those ways. But he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so our Savior had a human body. And I want you to understand that it was a perfect human body. The Lord Jesus, describing his own body, thank God for this. Even after his resurrection, when the disciples saw him and they thought they saw a spirit, he said, look, he said, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you behold me having? It said that when his side was pierced, there came out blood and water. The Lord Jesus on the cross said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And our Savior said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And so he has described every part of a true human being that you have. And he said, I have these same things, flesh and bone and blood and soul and spirit. And the glorious thing is this. When the Lord Jesus said, a body hast thou prepared me, he said, lo, I come to do thy will. And he did that will. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so here is a body that is prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was not to live unto himself, but to the glory of God. All right. If Christ's body was prepared that he might do the will of God, this is what he tells us in Luke 22. He took bread and broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And so his body was given for God, and his body was given for you. But, and this is the horror, that the body of the Lord Jesus was also made that it would be given into the hands of sinful men. Understand that during the entire life of our Lord Jesus Christ, not one hand was ever laid upon him. As soon as he entered his public ministry, they tried to murder him, cast him over the hill. They were not able to touch him. No matter what plans they had to take him by stealth and to have him put to death, impossible. But finally, the Lord Jesus said this in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And then is when Isaiah 50 was fulfilled. And I could have read it to you in all the Gospels what happened to the body of Jesus when it was given into the hands of men. And so, I ask you this. When Christ was given a body, what did he do with that body? You say, well, first of all, he gave that body to the glory of God.
Yes.
And then he gave that body for his own. This is my body, which is given for you. Well, what about sinful mankind? When that hour came, the sad thing is that the Lord Jesus allowed them to lay hands on him and do what they would. With this exception, and this is why it's so important, this could be expanded to such a great degree. You'll find that in Exodus 12 and Numbers 9 and Psalm 34, you'll find this prophecy of Scripture. In Exodus 12, it said, while they're eating that lamb, you are not to break its bone. And it says in Psalm 34, not a bone of him is broken. And it says the same thing in Numbers chapter 9. And when you come to John chapter 19, the Lord Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he seems to be dead. But these Roman soldiers are going to take no chance. The thieves were not dead, and so they take these metal clubs and break their legs so that their death will be hastened. The Lord Jesus is there, but he's already dead. And if they had wanted to break his bones, it was impossible for them to break his bones. But they said, I will pierce his side with a spear, and they pierced that side, and there came out blood and water. So this is the remarkable thing about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so protected by the Father, and your body is too, because we are told this, my times are in thy hand, and the times of the Lord Jesus Christ were in God's hand. And until that time terminated, and the Father turned him over to the hands of sinful men, and our Savior knew when it happened, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. You would think that our Savior was abandoned, that there was no protection. But the Father had said, not a bone of him shall be broken. And when they battered the Lord Jesus Christ, when they abused the Lord Jesus Christ, all these Roman soldiers with their strength and their weapons, it was impossible for them to break one bone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is how God looks after his own. You would think that if I'm in the hands of sinful men, God has forgotten me. But God hasn't forgotten. It says this on occasion, not a hair of your head will perish. God knows all of these things. You and I are unaware of it, but God is aware of it. And when Satan wants to destroy Job, God says to him, you are not to take his life. And so what Satan does to us and what man does to us is limited by God's protection over us. Thank God we are in his hands. This is what it says in Daniel. The God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? That's what he says about these potentates. But concerning us, the God in whose hands our breath is, and whose are all our ways, I trust that we have glorified him, and God is protecting us and keeping us. So, here is the body of the Lord Jesus, and I have thought of the different parts of that body, and this is what is so remarkable. How it is a body, but God tells us concerning different parts of that body, and they are numerous. It says this. It says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. It said, they pierced his side with a spear. It said that Mary came and sat at the feet of Jesus. It said that John, the beloved apostle, was upon his breast. It said that the Lord Jesus took the little children in his arms. It said he laid his hands upon them and blessed them. It said that they took a reed and smote him on the head. And you can look and find all these various parts of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God delights to tell us about them. What the parts of the body of Christ were done to by his enemies, and how the parts of the body of Jesus Christ were used for the blessing and the benefit of God's people. And so man did something to the body of Christ, but the Father did something to the body of Christ as well. It says in Isaiah 53, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And so there is his soul again. And the Father makes his soul an offering for sin. And man, it says, not only did they smite him on the head, but it said they spat in his face. And so here are the parts of the body of Christ, and the things that his enemies do, and the great blessing that the children of God receive from that body. Do you realize that in Luke chapter 15, it mentions his shoulders? He was this good shepherd, and he finds the sheep, and when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders. And I can tell you about the breastplate. When the dress of the high priest is mentioned, it says the breastplate is to be upon his heart. And every time the high priest goes into the presence of God, it said that breastplate representing the people of God was upon his heart. And so this is the joy to us, that every part of the Lord Jesus Christ, having first been dedicated to the Father, the Lord Jesus then says this, "This is my body which is given for you." Can you imagine such a thing? That Christ, in that precious body of his, dedicated it for you. For sinful man, yes, but having saved our souls by faith. Now the Lord Jesus says, my body is yours, and it shall be a blessing to you in every necessity that exists in your life. And so I'm just suggesting a few of these things. I found so many that I had to stop, but I will tell you some of them, because understand this, that first of all, when Christ, in the days of his flesh, was on earth, everything I told you about the body of Christ was literally fulfilled, literally carried out. Because it says, he took the little children in his arms. It says he laid his hand upon the leper. It said that Mary fell at his feet. It says that the soldiers smote him on the head. Understand that every part of the body of Christ that is mentioned in the days of his flesh, all of these things were literal. And when Christ said to men at that time, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When Christ said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, it was a literal, physical following. But now, if you preached a message to the lost, and said, this is what the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you could come to him physically? You couldn't do it. Everything now is not in the physical realm, but it is in the spiritual realm. But even though it's in the spiritual realm, it is just as much a reality, and it can be enjoyed as much as those whom Christ in the days of his flesh had different parts of his body touched and blessed and honored, and his body was a blessing to those who loved him and followed him. All of those things that happened to them through the body of Christ that was given for them, not only on the cross, but all during their lives when he was on earth with them, all of these things can be ours today. Now, let me give you an example and show you how. The one who is always at the feet of Jesus every time you see her is Mary, the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. It says in Luke 10 that when our Savior is being entertained, Martha served, but it said Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And it says in John chapter 12, when there is a supper prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ, Martha is there again, but it says Mary is at the feet of Jesus, anointing them with ointment and wiping his feet with the hair of her head. She also anointed his head. Perhaps more of that later. But literally anointing his feet and his head. And also, thank God for this, when she could not understand why, when a message was sent, "He whom thou lovest is sick," and the Lord Jesus delayed coming to assist her with her sick brother Lazarus, and he died. And finally, when the Lord Jesus got there, it says, Mary ran out to meet the Lord Jesus and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." So think of this. Every time you see Mary, it's at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, which one of us today can be at the feet of Jesus? We can be at the feet of Jesus for the same blessings that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. First of all, and it's threefold, it says that when Martha was getting something for Jesus to eat, it says that Mary also sat at his feet. I believe that she had helped Martha, but enough had been done, and the Lord Jesus said, "But one thing is needful." So here is Mary, and she's not going to miss the opportunity to listen to the Savior and his teaching. So think, someone comes to your home who has the knowledge of heaven, and what am I going to do? Let him sit out, and I go and prepare all this food for him? Thank God for preparing the food. But she said, "I'm going to get something from him spiritually for my soul while he is here, and he's going to get something physically for his body." And so the feet of Jesus is the place where the child of God learns personally from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing for you to learn from me, but the thing that you should do is this. It said that the Bereans, after they heard the Apostle Paul preach, it said they went home and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, thank God, in the days of his flesh, when Mary was at the feet of Jesus being taught by Jesus, do you think that she needed any other instruction? Well, of course not. And so that is what we can avail ourselves of today as well, to be at the feet of Jesus to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think of this. When our Savior came to Mary and Martha, this is what he said to Martha, whose heart was broken. He said, "Your brother shall live again. I know that he shall rise again at the last day." The Lord Jesus said, "The last day?" He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And so the Lord Jesus, in time of sorrow, is the consolation, and only Jesus can console the hearts of those who have lost loved ones. Things that you cannot understand. And Mary and Martha did not understand why Jesus did not come and restore Lazarus to health. Instead, left him, abandoned him to die. And yet the Lord Jesus said, there are reasons. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Had I come when you told me to come, you would have only known me as I've been so often. I am the great physician." He said, "But now that your brother is dead and I am here, you're going to understand that I am the resurrection and the life." And so how do you think he was appreciated, greater or lesser, since he did not come? You say he would be appreciated more. And so there is that wisdom. But there is only one who can console you, and that is Christ. And even though I come and try to give you my sympathy, only at the feet of Jesus can you be consoled at something that is inexplicable, and only he can control you. And the similar thing is spoken of Asaph, when the problems of life, the contradictions of life, had overcome him. He said, it was almost too much for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. He said, then I understood. And the only way you will understand the sorrows of life, the injustices of life, your sufferings that you cannot understand, you can understand them if you're at the feet of Jesus, and you can accept that there. But any place else, you'll wonder, you will doubt, you will question God, but not at the feet of Jesus. But now, here is the other part of Mary being at the feet of Jesus. Not only was she there in sorrow, was she there in reverence, listening to his word, but she was also there in worship. Because the Lord Jesus, who had taught her, who had raised her brother from the dead, who had spoken peace to her soul, this one is worthy of the highest thing that I can bestow upon him. And so she took this precious alabaster box of ointment, and it said she break it, and you'll find in the synoptics that she anointed his head, and in John she anointed his feet as well. This is what Christ says, she has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. John emphasizes the feet, and the others emphasize the head. And so here is Mary, and she prostrates herself at the feet of Jesus, and she gives that which is most precious, and she bestows it upon the Lord. And you can understand and agree for a while with Judas, who said, why this waste? It could have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. But the point is that the Lord Jesus is worth much more than that. Whatever the cost is expended for glorifying and showing worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is never waste. What offering could you offer that could equal the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ? But Mary did what she could, and she took this alabaster box of ointment. And remember this, when you do what is right and worthy of Christ, instead of man appreciating it, he will despise it, and he will criticize you. But the Lord Jesus remembered it. And he said, what this woman has done shall be never forgotten. Wherever this gospel is preached in all the world, what she's done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. And so here is Mary. And I've given you three illustrations about Mary and her at the feet of Jesus. But there are others there as well. Let me tell you of one that's most important, and I thank God for this. Here is Legion, and it said that it was impossible for any man to tame him. They had put chains on him, and he had broken those chains. They had tried to overpower him. It was impossible. And the Lord Jesus comes, and he gives a command to those evil spirits in him. And it said they left him. And then when the people from the town came back and saw the situation, Legion, who had been uncontrollable in the past, it said he was seated, clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And so the feet of Jesus is the place of subjugation, the things that the world could not do, and you are unable to do of yourself. Subjection to Jesus and subjugation of all those sins that have controlled you at the feet of Jesus, they can be overpowered. And so I'm telling you that what the feet of Jesus meant when he was physically on earth, the spiritual benefit of them can be derived by us today, because we can give him that honor, and we can be subjected, and we can learn. This is what he would have us to understand. But this, there is John, the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and when you see him, his head is on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose you can figure out what that means. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, You say, well, that doesn't exist today. Oh, but it does. Because I assure you, if you draw near to the Lord and you know of His love and you tell Him of your love, your head is on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what is such a delightful anticipation, that the breast of Jesus that was opened to John, and please note, the other disciples did not avail themselves of this, and there are some who are not interested much in love. There are some who are interested in service and learning, but some are interested in the love of Christ. And to think, the Lord Jesus would allow John, a sinful man, but saved by His grace, to come and place his head upon his bosom. And it said that Jesus loved John. And if John's head was upon Jesus' bosom, do you think that John might have loved Jesus as well? And the Lord Jesus wants to know that you love Him, as well as wanting you to know that He loves you. And that is learned not in the world, not taught, but it is something you experience when spiritually you place your head upon the heart, upon the bosom of Jesus. Now, not only so, but you'll understand that the hands of Jesus Christ can be a blessing to you. When the little children were brought, they wanted Him to bless them. And it said the Lord Jesus laid His hands on them and blessed them. And you can go into the presence of God and beseech the Lord Jesus to spiritually lay His hands upon you and bless you, and He will do it. Everything that was done when Christ was on earth in a physical way with His body, it can be done in a spiritual way now that Christ has gone back to heaven. You see, He said, this is My body which is for you. And that body which was for you, it was nailed to the cross, and God made His soul an offering for sin. That was for you. But not only was the body of Jesus that one thing for you, but just as His body when He was on earth was for all these various things I've told you, it's also for you now that He's gone back to heaven. And spiritually, you can enter into those blessings as much as they did physically when He was on earth. It says this concerning our Savior, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so there is a spiritual nearness that you attain and that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and every part of His body that has a meaning, it becomes meaningful to you. I'm so glad that I know about the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. I am a sheep, and I'm on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing stronger than His shoulders, and I'm going to stay there until I get home. This is telling us about the security. The strength of Christ is at your disposal. And so just go and see every part of Christ's body and understand that Christ said, this is My body which is for you. And so He came first of all and gave His body to the Father, and then He came and gave His body to sinful men, and then He came and gave His body to those who trust Him as Savior. Now, your body. It says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and you are not your own, but you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. I see. Did Christ glorify God with His body? Yes. But you glorify God with your body. This is what He tells us. And it says also in chapter 6, it says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. That's what the Greeks were saying. But He said, yes, that might be true. He said, but I want you to understand this. The body is not for fornication, but the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. What does it mean? That I who am made of flesh and bone and blood, this body of mine is not for fornication or sinful pleasures, But my body is for the Lord. And it says, the Lord is for my body. And so God has elevated us and allowed us with our bodies to give them back to the Father as Christ gave his body back to the Father. And that is why I read to you from Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so God gave his body to the Father, and I can understand his accepting the Son's body. But now that we are saved, not only will God accept our bodies, but he says that we are to offer our bodies to the Father, a living sacrifice. Christ's body upon the tree, a sacrifice. Our bodies, a living sacrifice. And so these are some things that I want you to think about concerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and our bodies as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you prepared a body for your Son, and it was a selfless body for you, for sinful men, for your children. We are thankful, our God, that the body which was for God and God for the body, it was experienced fully in Christ. May it be experienced at least to a degree in us. So bless all these dear ones here, Father, and let them understand how much strength they can draw from the body of Christ, how much consolation and how much worship they can bestow upon Christ and his body. Our Father, let us enjoy Christ's body now as his followers enjoyed his body when he was on earth. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing that song, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Brother Garn, what does that say?
548. Yes, thank you.
No, it's 548, what?
Number 548.
Oh, I see.
Yes. You have about 2 hours and 12 minutes to go, John.
Yes.
let's sing that 548, and we have what we have heard.